My name is Anne Chambers, and I'm a research scientist in London, Ontario, in Canada. I work on metastasis and tumor dormancy.
Now, Anne, tell me about your talk yesterday. What were you saying?
Well, I was giving my perspective on what happens in our experimental models and how it might lead to hypotheses that suggest what we should look for in patients as a way to try to determine who is at risk for dormancy and then what we do about it.
What conclusions are you coming up with?
Well, in all of the models that we've looked at, we've seen more dormant cells than we've seen metastatic cells. So in a metastatic cell line, even a very, very metastatic cell line, most of the cells behave as non-metastatic. Many of them get to an organ and simply sit there. We've been using some novel imaging procedures, MRI-type procedures, to track these cells. And we see a population of cells that seems to sit in the organ and remain dormant. We don't know what regulates them, but we certainly see that in patients as well.
And how long do they stay dormant?
Well, in our models, it's shortened, and if the models get metastases, the metastases will take over. But in patients, I mean, in breast cancer, you can have dormancy that happens for 20, 25 years. So the struggle in the field is to try to get some models that will help inform what's going on in these patients, who is at risk for these dormant cells. And one of our big problems is that we know for some cancers that some patients will be at risk for dormancy, but we don't know which ones. And so the big challenge is, if you're going to treat dormancy, you better know which patients are at high risk for dormancy and which patients are not. There are clinical studies that have showed that you can actually treat dormancy as a phenomenon. There was a Canadian trial where they looked at long-term hormonal therapy in women with breast cancer that was hormone responsive. And you can treat women for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and you can benefit some women, clearly, but it's also at some risk of toxicities. So we need to know what the target is better before we move in and say, okay, we're going to just treat all women with something.
And when you say treat for dormancy, do you mean wipe out the dormant cancer cells, or do you mean keep the cells in the dormant condition?
Neither, actually. In the models that have been done so far, it's women with hormone-responsive therapy, the cancer can come back after 5, 10, 15, 20 years later. And the thought is that over this period of dormancy, eventually some cells start to wake up. So if you're treating them continuously with an anti-hormone therapy, then you're going to catch them when they wake up. This requires therapies that can be given for long term without too much toxicity. But there's a lot of speculation about, wouldn't it be nice to either figure out how to make the cells stay dormant, or to kill them when they're dormant, or higher risk to wake them up and then quickly kill them with some cytotoxic therapy that kills them only when they're dividing.
Now, I'm amazed that you can actually see these dormant cells, but you say there are imaging techniques that allow that to be seen.
We're imaging mice. So the MRI technique that we have is actually a very neat technique. You load the cells before you inject them into the mouse with iron, and the MR machine will pick up the iron as a little black spot. When the cells start to divide, they lose the iron, so you can't see them anymore. So you have a marker of non-division. As long as you see a black spot, the cell has not divided. The only way we know that they're real in patients is after the fact. You are treated for a cancer, you think you're cured, maybe, but we don't know that. And then if the cancer comes back, you know that you were in a state of clinical dormancy. But it's a very retrospective thing. You don't know which patients have dormant cells. That's part of our problem.
Could it be the case that most breast cancer patients have dormant cells, but in most cases they don't go on to cause any problems?
That's certainly one belief that people have. The problem is that most cancer patients will not have recurrences, depending on whether they were high or low risk. But some will. One of the things that causes problems as well is the heterogeneity and dynamic nature of cancer. So it can change, it can evolve. We have to build that into how we treat patients. The problem is that there's so little data. And one of the things I'm really pushing for is some detailed autopsy studies that will just figure out what is the prevalence of perhaps irrelevant dormant cells in patients. We don't know that. Some people think that all high-risk breast cancer patients probably have dormant cells, and for many of them, they'll just stay there forever and they'll die of something else. So we really don't know the lay of the landscape in patients.
Okay, so more research needs to be done to actually discover the prevalence of dormant cells. That seems a very basic thing to do, doesn't it?
I think so, but it's hard to get the data. I mean, other than things like autopsies, there are people who are doing these circulating tumor cells, which are a marker of cells being somewhere. There are people who are doing disseminated tumor cells in bone marrow, and they find them. But in a non-invasive fashion, it's going to be very hard, other than statistically, to find out who's at risk. And that's why I'm pushing for detailed autopsy studies, in starting, say, with women who are at high risk for recurrence. Either they do or don't get recurrences, but can you do autopsies carefully after they've died either of breast cancer or of something unrelated, just to see whether they're common but not causing problems or what? We don't know that.
And do you think your mice are realistic models for human disease?
No, I don't know. I mean, that's always an issue. In every single model we've looked at, we see dormant cells. It seems to be associated with how aggressive the tumors are in the mice. But in a mouse experiment that takes even 6 months, is that corresponding to 20 years in a patient? We don't know. All it can do is give us testable hypotheses that you can then take to patients and see if it leads you someplace interesting.
What have you got out of the meeting so far?
This is a wonderful interactive meeting. It brings together people with very different backgrounds who care about the same thing but can ask the sort of naive questions that people in their own field don't feel brave enough to ask. But the discussions have just been wonderful. It's been very interactive, and I've had a great time.
Can you see any collaborations forming?
Oh, I've been taking copious notes and talking with people, yes. I can see several possibilities. It's interesting seeing how the field progresses in so many different ways. So, yeah, I'm negotiating a couple of collaborations